turn over to 1 John, 1 John chapter number 2, right towards the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter number 2, I want to share three simple thoughts out of this passage of Scripture. I'm thankful we can go to the Scriptures. I had someone tell me after service today that they were in another service at one point, and the person that was supposed to be given the Bible message told them that it did not matter that Jesus died on the cross. Said that he could have died from old age, that he could have died anyway. I said, well, that's not Bible. It does matter how he died, because the Bible prophesied it, said, cursed be everyone that hangeth on the tree, and talked about the piercing of him. And I said, it does matter. I said, but if you get to the point that you don't believe the Bible, then you can go anywhere with it. And so that's why it's so important. And I said, I'm so thankful we have a Bible that we can follow. Amen. 1 John chapter number 2, you can remain seated. We're going to read the first five verses. As John is writing here, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Don't you love the word commandments in the Bible? Well, the Bible's, and this is what modern day Christianity will say, well, the Bible's not just a list of do's and don'ts that we're supposed to follow. And then the same people will get irate when they try to take the Ten Commandments down off a piece of property somewhere. Well, it's not a list of do's and don'ts, but don't you take them commandments down off there. Do you know what the commandments are? A list of do's and don'ts, okay? They tell us, and I don't have the exact list, maybe someday we can have someone preach that. They say there's over, I'll just say this, there's thousands of commandments in the Word of God that we are to follow, okay? The Bible is a list of do's and don'ts to be able to follow the Word of God and what God has given to us and how we're supposed to live. The Bible tells us how we're supposed to live. The Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be holy. And I came down to verse number 4, where this is talking to believers, and aren't you thankful that we have in the Word of God not just the message on how to get saved, but the message on how to live after we're saved. 1 John is written to believers, those that have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. That's why verse number 9 of chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have the promises even after salvation that we are to confess our sins and he will forgive us. You say, well, I'm saved and I don't sin after salvation. That's not Bible. Even as we are gathered together today, there is not one perfect person in our midst except for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only perfect one. That means for the rest of us, this passage of Scripture is in effect for today. But we come to verse 4 that we read. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. How many of y'all love the next three words when someone looks at you and says that? Is a liar. Now, he says it just plain, doesn't he? I don't think there's any confusion on what John is, the message that John is trying to get across through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, on he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And as I was coming down through this passage of Scripture, I want to share just a few thoughts this morning on don't lie about obedience. Now, automatically, my mind took me back, and I know you never would have done this when you were younger and growing up, that your parents told you to do something, and then they asked you if you did it. Did you clean your room? It's really not telling the whole truth if you just redistributed your possessions. No, I did not clean, but I redistributed everything to underneath my bed. I redistributed everything into my closet. How many ever had a parent look at him and say, you lied? Now, can I say this? Probably one of my pet peeves, and the one thing that just gets me more than anything else, is for someone just to look me in the eyeball and lie to me. And just lie. And I thought, you know, I wonder how it is when we try, and understand this, there's no way of us lying to God, because God knows the truth. But in our relationship with everybody else, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. You ever run into someone and you've known them for a while? Maybe you work with them. Maybe they're your neighbor or whatever. And then just after years, all of a sudden they come out and say, yeah, I'm saved. And you're thinking, I've worked beside you for years. And you never want, not only didn't say anything, but by your lifestyle, how you talk, what your actions are, there's just something not right about that. You say, well, we're not to judge. Well, the Bible says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And I wonder how many times in our Christian life we lie. Now, God knows the truth. God knows our hearts. And I wonder how many times we try to lie about our obedience to him. First of all, when he says at the end of verse number 4, and the truth is not in him, I'm convinced sometimes there are people that lie about their obedience in salvation. Their obedience in salvation. You say, what do you mean? I've sat in church services before, and then at the close of the church service, because of the message that was preached, here comes someone that's walking down the aisle, and you're wondering, what in the world are they coming forward for? And they meet you there at the front, and all of a sudden, they're telling you, I'm not saved. And I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Didn't ask them how long they've been in church. I had a good friend of ours when we were in Bible college. Bible college, training for ministry. This young man's dad was a pastor. Preached the Word of God week after week after week. And this college young man got up and walked the aisle one day at the church service, the chapel service inside Bible college, and said, I'm not saved. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I have been lying about my obedience to the Lord Jesus in salvation. Now, may I say that some people lie to themselves about it, because they say, oh, I've been saved for years, Some people, and I was able to lead them to the Lord just a few months ago when he got baptized a little over a month ago. We sat down at the coffee shop and I started talking to him about salvation. And he said, well, he said, I just remember that my parents told me that I got saved when I was younger. And I've just held on to it for all these years. And I said, you don't remember it? You say, I'm in the same condition, but they told me I got saved. May I say this, without conviction of the Holy Spirit of God and us making a conscious decision to be able to call upon Him. I'm not asking people anymore if they prayed a prayer. Do you know how many people across America have prayed a prayer at some point in their life? I'm not asking if their parents told them that they were saved when they were younger. I'm talking about having the assurance in our hearts and lives that we are not lying to ourselves and lying to everybody else, trying to make everybody believe that we have a relationship with God. But whenever this is preached or whenever this is brought up, there's something going on inside of our heart saying, you know it's not true. You know that you don't have what he's talking about from the scriptures. I'm talking about knowing that we're saved, that we found out according to the scriptures that we are sinners in need of a Savior, that we have turned to the Lord. Now, I understand this matter of repentance, and I fully believe in repentance. I believe that there is one sin that separates someone for all of eternity from being with God, and that is their unbelief in God Almighty. And may I say this, that must be repented of and turn from that unbelief and turn in belief to our Lord and Savior. But I'm afraid there's multitudes seated across churches, maybe not today because a lot of them closed down. But I'm afraid there's multitudes that sit in churches week after week after week. I believe there's some, or God wouldn't have put this on my heart for this afternoon. I believe there's some that sit in Granite State Baptist Church week after week. And if you were to nail them down and say, do you know 100%? They'd say maybe 95%. But they don't have it settled. And I say this, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It's not there. I'm not asking if you prayed a prayer at some point. And listen, I believe this, and I just told a pastor last week. I said, I don't believe someone just walking down the aisle getting saved whenever they feel like getting saved. You get saved when the Holy Spirit of God draws you for salvation. That means there is conviction in our hearts, knowing that we need a Savior, and we turn from our unbelief and we turn to belief in an almighty God and have it settled that I'm a child of God. You say, well, how do I know if that's true? Romans tells us in Romans chapter number 8 that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. Now, sometimes we've used that if I may be talking with Dana and I could say, boy, our spirits are just bearing witness that we're both saved. That has nothing to do with that verse, nothing whatsoever. It's the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me that whenever that may come up, the Holy Spirit of God can take me back to the time and can take me back to the place when I humbled myself and I called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. You say, well, what did you say in order to be saved? It's not a matter of the words. The thief that was hanging beside the Lord there on the cross, he simply said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And guess what? That was enough for the Lord. That was enough. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What about the publican that went down before the Lord and he would not went down to the temple? He would not even as much lift his eyes towards heaven. Bowed down and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man went home justified. Not the one that was standing there and praying for everybody to be heard, but the one that humbled their heart before the Lord. I'm amazed today at how many young people prayed a prayer when they were younger, but they'll sit in church week after week
And they know they're not a child of God. They know they're not. Well, what's everybody going to say if they go down and get saved? I'm going to say, praise the Lord. I'm going to say, hallelujah. I'm going to say, I'm glad you got it settled. And you didn't let pride stand in the way. It ain't no wonder you don't have a desire to be able to serve God. You're not even His child. Oh, we're all God's children. Not according to the Bible, we're not. And if there's not even a desire, I had a pastor tell me, and it was Brother Peterman. At the funeral, his boy got saved. 18, 19, 20 years old. At the funeral of his mom, the son walks the aisle. Listen, I'm talking grown up in a preacher's home. Walks the aisle, and a preacher took him off to the side. And the man who's burying his wife that day, he said, I could see it all over him as he's walking down. He said, I knew exactly what was happening that day. And he said, you know something? He said, afterwards, he said, it all started coming back. Why is it that this was, why couldn't he get victory over this? Why couldn't, he was always, would have a conversation and would just butt heads all the time. And it just couldn't seem to go well. He said, then I put it all together. He said, you talk about a change in the man's life after he got saved. He said, and the Holy Spirit of God moving in that young man's life. I'm afraid sometimes we sit in church week after week after week, and we're lying to ourselves and we're lying to everybody around us that we've obeyed the Lord in salvation. There's some, I believe they're seated here today, that could probably give testimony, and they'd be the first one to be able to tell you, don't let pride stand in your way. But I've been in church for a long time. It's not what I'm asking. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation, but I'm trying to make sure you're saved. Make sure that you're a child of God. Make sure it is settled in your heart that you came to that point, you knew you were a sinner. I'm not talking about, listen, the only one that ever got saved with a bright light was the Apostle Paul as he was laying flat on his back, okay? But he still even heard from heaven. He still even had conviction in his heart when God said to him, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And there's sometimes God just settled it in my heart. Why? It's a constant battle in some lives. They're not God's children. I just believe the Lord speaking to hearts. Salvation needs to take place. But then can I say this? He's talking to saved folks here in verse number 4. He's talking to saved folks. I believe sometimes we lie about our obedience, not for salvation, but in confession and repentance of sin. You say, what do you mean? Isn't that the same as salvation? No, I'm talking about after salvation. You realize it is still a necessity when there is sin in our lives as the children of God to be able to repent, to confess them and repent and to be able to turn from them. I wonder if we really were the spiritual people that every one of us are putting on that we are today. Can you imagine if we were really that close to God? Well, some will say, well, that's why I don't even put the show on. I'm just going to tell them my mind, and I'm just going to be rebellious. I had one of my two kids that were like that. I won't tell you which one. But every time there would be sin in his life, he was not the kind that was going to try to cover it up. He was the kind that when he got the Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge, that would get done and foolish me would ask the question, was it worth it? And he would actually answer yes. Because the risk and consequence, he would weigh that out in his mind, and I'm thinking, what in the world are you doing? But he wouldn't lie about it. Yep, I did it. I bit him. I hit him. I kicked him. It was worth it. It wouldn't be hid. Now, some people are naturally like that, but I'm thinking in our Christian life, we go in and fellowship one with another. I wonder what opinions of each other would be if we knew right now the sin that is being harbored and suppressed and covered up inside Christians' lives that we're in association with each and every week. Well, nobody will know about it. So we just keep pushing it down further and pushing it down further. Add another layer on top of it. Well, guess what? Eventually it's going to blow. Eventually everybody's going to know about it. It's better, listen, to confess it. Not to me. I don't believe in a booth confessional. There's no window in my door over here. None. I'm talking about we confess our sins, guess who? To God. We confess it and repent of it. But unfortunately, I believe we've got churches that are full of known sin that is in people's lives, and it's no wonder that God is not working in congregations across our nation because there's sin in lives. There's anger. There's bitterness. There's unforgiveness. And we say, I'm justified in it. No, if you keep not the commandments of the Lord and you say you know Him, we're liars. In other words, we're living a hypocritical life before Almighty God. And God knows the real us, doesn't He? Do you think there's one person you've ever met, they may have fooled you, do you think they actually fooled God too? No, not a bit. That's why God's going to look at some and say, listen, I never knew you. You may have fooled everybody else, and they're going to say, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? In Thy name, have we not cast out devils? We've healed people, and we've done many marvelous works. And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They're lying about salvation. But I believe we have unconfessed sin that is prevalent in our lives on a regular basis, and we desire for God to be able to do something, but we're harboring that in our lives, and we've not confessed it, repented of it, and forsaken it, and living holy before our Lord. You say, well, that three-letter word, sin, it's still in the Bible. It's still in the Bible. And we're supposed to confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us. And we start saying, Lord, why aren't you working? Why aren't you doing these things? Why aren't you taking care of things? I wonder if the Lord would just look at us and say, because you're living a lie. Making everybody think that everything's okay in your life when you know what's going on in your heart. The wickedness of thoughts that people have. The wickedness of actions on a regular basis of saying, it's not right. And God's trying to convict hearts. And God's trying to speak to hearts. And we're just saying, that's okay, nobody else knows about it. And then we dismiss the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we just keep searing it and saying no. And then we get to the point that we're just comfortable with sin. We're just comfortable with it. God's not convicting of it anymore because our hearts are so stone cold hard. I want to be sensitive to it. I had a mom tell me one time, and I learned something from this lady. You can learn something from a lady if you'll listen. She told me, she said, I've always prayed. Her husband, I can't remember if he had passed away or left her with 8 kids. She said, I always prayed that when my kids sinned against God, that they would get caught quickly. They'd get caught quickly. God would bring it to the forefront. They would come face to face with it. That way they'd never get comfortable sinning and thinking I can get away with it for a while. Because as the old country term goes, those chickens always come home to roost, don't they? What about that Old Testament saying? Be sure your sin will find you out. How many ever had some sin revealed and you're thinking, how in the world did they even know about that? And they may not have known, but just something that was said, an action that was taken, you're like, man, how in the world did they even know about? God has a way.
Well, listen, sometimes we lie. We lie to everybody around us saying we're more spiritual in our actions. When there's not even a desire to be in church, there's not even a desire to be studying the Word of God, it's more of a duty, it's more of a religious responsibility, and there's some, they're thankful that some churches aren't having congregations today. Now listen, I'm all for being safe, that's not what I'm saying right now, but every opportunity there is to be out of church, they're saying, hey, that's okay with me. No, that's not how we approach things. The desire of our hearts. But then may I finally say this in verse number 5. He says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And I simply wrote down, sometimes we lie about obedience to God's word. Have you ever had someone getting ready to do a certain action or make a certain decision in their life? And they may have genuinely been asking for advice. And so you take them to the Bible. And you show them what the Bible has to say. But they have their own verses. Well, but I've got this over here. And what's this say? I mean, it's one phrase out of one verse, out of one whole book, that if you just read beyond the comma. So I'll give you this example. Several years ago when we were traveling, there was a pastor that got up behind the pulpit and he made this statement. He was talking about salvation and he said, if you have ever doubted your salvation ever in your life, then you are not saved, if you have ever doubted it. Now, the previous missionary serving the Lord, every missionary got saved at the conference, okay? Because of the same thing being preached. So then he quoted verse for it. He quoted scripture. And he said, well, we know the Bible says, and the Bible does say this, the Bible says, he that doubteth is damned. And Crystal looked over at me, and I looked over at Crystal. I got saved when I was 5. I could take you to the place right now. She got saved when she was 9. She could take you to the place right now where God spoke to the heart. And I'm thinking, but the Bible. And she looked over at me. She said, what's the Bible say about that? I said, the Bible does say, he that doubteth is damned. But there's just 3 little words after that. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. I said, it's just the rest of the verse in Romans chapter number 14. And I said, it's talking about eating meat that's offered to idols, and it has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. And I went back and read that, and I said, listen, some actually lie about their obedience in following the Word of God. If they would just listen and have a teachable spirit and allow someone to be able to open up the Bible and say, but here's what the Bible says, they wouldn't be living that way. They wouldn't be acting that way. But they've had a couple little verses that have been taken out, and now all of a sudden, hey, I'm living this whole life, and they're lying to themselves about following the Bible. And I'm thinking, the way you're living, that's not even in the Bible. That's not how you're supposed to be living. That's not how you're supposed to be acting. Well, yeah, it's in the Bible. I'm thinking, where? What are you reading? Give me the rest of that verse. Give me what's before that verse. Give me what's after that verse. Because you'll understand the statement. I don't think it means what you think it means. That's not what the Bible's saying in that context of Scripture. And I thought, you know, if we'd just be faithful to this book, and if we'd just not lie to ourselves about whether we're following the Bible or not, maybe you're following what you want to be your interpretation of the Bible. And if that's the case, listen, there's a lot of assemblies around our city and around our state and around our nation that they'll let you look at that book and just believe whatever you want it to believe, whatever you want it to say.
Well, I found out this. When I take this book as the authority, then I'm not allowed to pick and choose. I'm an all or nothing. That means this is an entire book or it's not a book at all. And that means I'm going to follow it, whether I like it, whether I don't like it, whether it convicts me, whether it causes me to change my behavior, to be able to confess sin, to repent of it, as long as I'm following the Word of God. And so I ask this as we go throughout the Scriptures. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Let me ask this, and God already knows the answer. Are you living a truthful life? Or are we lying about our obedience to the Lord? And we've got everybody else fooled. We don't have God fooled. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's the statement behind it. That's the truth behind it. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart. I'll ask you this. Do you truly know that you're saved? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Is there unconfessed sin in your life? That, listen, on the surface, we look around, everybody, boy, they know it's great. But we're saying if they knew the sin that's in my life right now, but then are we truly following the Word of God, or are we just lying to ourselves about it? And we're just picking out what we want to be able to make us comfortable as we go through life. Are we living a truthful, spiritual life? Or would God have to look at it? I'm telling you, I've had a lot of people that I've looked at and I said, you're lying. I've had some look at me, they didn't know all the facts, but they looked at me and said, you're lying. Boy, that irritates me. Can you imagine having God look at us and say, you're lying? And I believe the sweet Holy Spirit of God in more than one area speaking to hearts saying, you're lying. We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The invitation is simple this morning, this afternoon. First of all, do you know 100% that heaven's your home, that God is your Savior, and that you're a child of God? Or maybe you're 95%. Maybe you're, well, if I did things right, I am. I'm not asking if you did things right. I'm asking, is the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? Or maybe with no one looking around, you'd just be honest and say, Pastor, I'm just not sure. And I don't want to live a lie. God's speaking to my heart, and I'm just not sure. But Pastor, would you pray for me? I will. If you just slip your hand up, slip it down. Pastor, pray for me. Just not sure. I don't want to tell nobody. God already knows. God knows who is His and who isn't. Pastor, pray for me. Just not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, slip it down. All right, then, Christians, allow the Lord to speak to hearts. I wonder what it is in the life that you know it, and God knows it. And there's just some areas that we're just living a lie. And God's speaking to hearts. I'm not going to ask you to get up and come to the altar. But I wonder if you'd get it right with the Lord.
Spend some time with Him right now. Asking the Lord. Lord, in this area, boy, if anybody knew about this, well, maybe we need to confess it, repent of it, and forsake it. And He's so faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And He's not going to come back tomorrow and hold it over our head. In fact, if you bring it up to Him tomorrow, He's going to say, "What sin? I'm choosing not to remember that." Are you following His word? Keeping His commandments. Our Father, we sure do love You. Lord, I thank You so much. Lord, I just thank You so much for the indwelling presence, the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that our relationship and our fellowship with You would be right. And Lord, we wouldn't be lying to ourselves about obedience. But Lord, we would be right before You, and that You would be honored and glorified and exalted in our lives, and we would have a truthful relationship between You and us. Because Lord, You already know the truth. You already know the condition of our hearts. May we draw close to You. Thank You for the word of God now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.